Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star podcast. We are a Battletech podcast highlighting the storied mercenary units in the newest Kickstarter from Catalyst Game Labs and beyond. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG. I'm your host, and I'm joined today by a very special guest. My co-host for the day is Mr. Brute. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And before we jump into it, Brute, let's see. We met in the Wolfnet Radio podcast Discord, I believe.
That is, yeah, I think that's right. Probably on one of the Tuesday night fights that I run.
Absolutely. Actually, I think it predates the Tuesday night fights.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, it's been, like, they just celebrated their 5 years, and it was, they were only 10 episodes in or so when I found them. And I think you were there already in the Discord, so.
It's possible. I discovered them in 2019.
Yeah, that's about when I found them.
Right before the fall of mankind with COVID, so.
Right.
That's probably right. Probably ran across each other in one of the early campaigns that we were running.
And the only reason I know that it kind of predates it is because I have not been able to do very many of the Tuesday night fight nights because I stream my D&D game on Tuesday nights. Horrible excuse, I know, but I'm pretty sure I had that as a standing appointment before Tuesday night fights started. So, but we were definitely all doing our campaign missions for our Wolfnet campaign that we had for a while. And so that's where we met, but give me a little background about you, Brute. When and how did you get into Battletech?
Okay. So, I got into Battletech, way back in the day, played Mercenaries on MechWarrior 2.
Nice.
Probably the most fun computer game I ever got or ever received as a Christmas present was Mech Commander. I knew game inside and out. And when the Desperate Measures came out and you could make your own missions, I was making stuff like crazy.
That's awesome.
Got to play MechWarrior 3, kind of dropped out of that for a while. I have some miniatures from back when I was in high school, but I never got to play. No one in our community played. So went a long time without it. And my first tabletop experience was with the Dark Age Clicks, which makes me kind of an oddity, I guess, because a lot of people didn't care for those so much, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Played that.
Skipped them all together. I didn't even know they existed until they had stopped producing them. So
I found them by total accident. And then, so it was, I think I was in South Carolina just for, I don't even remember why I was there. I don't live in South Carolina. So that was a good ways away from home. Just happened to go through a bookstore and saw some on a shelf and was like, whoa, I need these.
Yeah.
So, of course, got into that and collecting some of those. Then it went a long time. I've always been kind of a fan of the books, that, you know, life happens and had, you know, children and everything. But I was at Gen Con and I ran across the guys there from Wolfnet, and I dove back in head first. So yeah. I've been big into the AS table games and playing Mega Mech. Can't speak there. Trying to get a game at least once every week. So AS, I don't get to play it very much, but I try.
Yeah, no, I get that. I've yet to play it myself. I just have to arrange a time with Derek, and I will, he'll help me through it, but because we still have to meet up, but that's awesome. I definitely was in it in the 90s playing the tabletop game. I was introduced to the tabletop game first, and then to the first MechWarrior game, all, you know, 16 polygons. It was a blast. Loved it. And I actually, my mom ran a business in our home and we had three computers in my home in 1990, and it wasn't multiplayer, but we all sat next to each other playing. the original MechWarrior at the same time. So it was a lot of fun. But no, that's awesome. Yeah, and then I left for a while in the early 2000s as well, just school, you know, job, life, and then whenever they announced they were going to be at Gen Con and release the first Battle Mech manual, I had a friend going to Gen Con that year, and I had him get me the Battle Mech manual and a couple of those aluminum dice that they had that year. They weren't in the pucks yet. It was just free, you know, pairs of the aluminum dice. And so I got some Ghost Bear and some Davion. And so, yeah. And so that was like, all right, I'm back in it. And then they released the Game of Armored Combat and the beginner box. And so from then it was just me trying to get in everything I could. So, but yeah, that's fantastic. And then you have been, deeply involved in all sorts of things, as well as on your own, you know, podcast co-hosting with our friend Chandler, and that's the Armor Up podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Chandler asked me to help, kind of help him co-host a podcast that's basically on everything that's not mechs. So
yeah.
We're going down the line on vehicles, and we're doing it chronologically. So if you haven't heard your favorite vehicle or battle armor yet, sorry, we're getting there. It's just going to take a while.
No, that's great. But the fact that you're doing it chronologically, that seems like a lot of research to figure out what chronological order they come in, especially into the later years.
It definitely can be, and Chandler's got a really good grasp on that. He's got a spreadsheet with, you know, everything going down the line, so that's helped out tremendously.
Well, and that works out because you're also a fan of vehicles in general, especially for your AS350 games and your Hell's Horses lists that are legendary at this point.
Yeah, So how this all came about, I see myself as a mech warrior, and I will ride into battle in a mech. But I was on my way up to game with Sean Goldsby and Andrew, and I just threw what I had that was kind of painted good enough in a box and was driving up there. And somewhere around Wisconsin, I was probably a little sleep addled, and I came up with this crazy idea of, what if I didn't take any mechs at all? Like, what if I just took tanks? And I was just like talking to myself in the car, like, this could work.
That's awesome.
This could totally work. I could do this, and people would think I'm nuts, and everyone would just look down on the vehicles like, oh, those aren't worthy opponents, and they'll ignore it. And you ignore a demolisher at your own peril. So,
that's
kind of how it happened.
That's funny. That's awesome.
I just tried. I tried it, and it worked.
But
I've been stuck there.
But honestly, though, I think that your example has definitely led a way for a lot more people, at least in the circles that we know of, to be willing to accept vehicles more often, which is fantastic. Because I love the idea of combined arms. I just don't know how to do it.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. I started with the tanks, and then, you know, I've kind of rolled heavily into infantry, and I've gotten my hand smacked a couple of times because I've done some things I probably shouldn't have, but
that's okay.
Caused some real changes, but hey, it happens. It's all for the better, and
all for the
game. You know, I enjoy it, and I like the diversity of the units and being able to do a lot of different things. And if I can help teach people the way of combined arms, I'd totally do it.
Awesome. Well, Brute is here today to help me talk about another famed mercenary unit, the Avantes Angels. And we're going to jump into that. They're kind of an iconic unit, but they're not very big. They never got bigger than basically a company in size. And they kind of never really got going, but it's okay. So they have a really cool kind of history there as well. So But yeah, we're on episode 6 today. I forgot to mention that at the top of the show, but we're on episode 6 talking about Avanti's Angels. And so we're going to move over to the presentation if you're checking out the video, which if you are, please check it out on the YouTube or on Spotify. Love to have you join us there. So, talking about Avanti's Angels, they are... you know what? That's okay. There's a little misprint on the name there. Reusing stuff. But anyway, they were founded in 3050. And they were founded by Marcus Gio Avanti after taking a job defending a small corporation as kind of like just an independent mech warrior. So they first appeared in the Invading Clans source book in 1994. But then their kind of first and only novel, they've got two pieces of fiction about them. One was the first novel, and it was in 1997. It was Double Blind by Lauren Coleman. And then the second one was called Guardians, and it was also by Lauren, but it was a short story in the first Total Warfare printing. Now, unfortunately, I don't have access to it because it's not in the printing that I have. So, and I know Brute and I were talking, he doesn't have it either. So we're trying to track that down. If you have an idea where we can find it, let us know. Comment on the show or send us an email or something. And we'd love to do that. So, but yeah, let's talk about them real quick. Again, they were kind of created during the clan invasion. Marcus Giovanni was hired to defend a world or defend a corporation on the world of Garstet in 3050. After this Smoke Jaguars invaded Garstet, he was forced into service with the DCMS, even given a rank of Tai E. We're pronouncing it correctly, to command a demi company of 6 mechs to act as a rear guard. He barely made it off planet, and from then on would basically be given volunteers who were forced to volunteer to be part of his little small rear guard unit. And then were eventually forced off of all these worlds as they. Smoke Jaguars just kept invading and pushing forward. And so it was like up to 8 worlds. So during that time, they were able to get a fair bit of salvage and recover clan tech that had over half their unit actually upgraded with clan tech, which is pretty cool. But then eventually they did leave the DCMS service and reformed as mercenaries. So, Brute, what else you got for them there?
I mean, you got to imagine it's pretty crazy being able to get pushed off of that many planets and then just keep surviving. So, I mean, I like them. They're a hard luck story. I mean, they've gone through so many people, so many machines. They just keep getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. So it's really that they could maintain some kind of thing, cohesiveness is really cool. I mean, when we do get introduced to them after all of that, you know, you're first off in the Chaos March, and I mean, right out the gate, they get backstabbed. I mean, it's rough.
Yeah,
they are like the epitome of your small business. You know, they're close to insolvency all the time. They're, you know, battlefield survivors trying to get by on whatever they can scrape together. So they do a heck of a job doing it, but they take a beating every step of the way.
They really, really did. And even after kind of surviving that clan invasion and then going on to actually serve as a mercenary unit in other areas, they never really grew or had just like famed success. Where they attracted a lot of people, like other mercenary units did, for example, the Grey Death Legion and, you know, others that had been around and made a name for themselves. I feel like they definitely had a a good reputation, but they didn't, they weren't this attractive unit for people to hire on with. And so, yeah, I kind of found them out in the periphery later, serving in the Magistry of Canopus and also in the Chaos March, where they ran afoul of the Word of Blake, and others as well. They were attacked by Blakist forces multiple times, posing as, you know, during their whole crusade era, they were, you know, definitely a part of a lot of the kind of workings, in that area. Even freeing some people from some camps, that would have far reaching implications. As we talked about,
absolutely.
You know, they went to release the son, I believe it was, of the what's his name?
So yeah, Baron Shinzi, I believe is how it's pronounced. Was a when you first get to jump into their storyline, the Double Blind, they were working for Baron Shinzi in the Chaos March. And then before they, you know, and it's like we were talking before about, you know, being a hard luck case, they get a job to leave the Chaos March, which is already a pretty rough place. It's picking up any small merc unit you can get. Yeah. And they go to the periphery where basically mercenary units tend to go to die. So, yeah, I mean, they end up coming full circle, though, because they come back to the Chaos March.
Yeah, and they made it back.
Yeah. And they're responsible for rescuing Baron Shinzi's son. I believe his name's Raphael Shinzi, who has been basically put in one of these encampments by the Blakists. But he wasn't the only one they managed to rescue.
Yeah, they rescued you know, some other people. One of them being a person who would be the catastrophic downfall on Arcoil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. During the summit,
effectively
yeah.
Lopping the leadership off of many factions.
Yeah.
During the Word of Blake era. So.
Yeah. Don't know if you want to go into that list, but it's long and it really twists the knife in a lot of hearts.
Yes. And you know, I know it. You know, CGL has done a fantastic job of turning around the Dark Ages into something that a lot of us don't hate quite as much anymore.
There are some moments that are rough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I speak of the Dark Age era, not of the Dark Age novels that kicked off the Word of Blake era. but they, you know, there was a lot of characters, like well-known named characters who died because of inadvertently of the actions of Auntie's Angels, rescuing certain deep, I mean, what would you call that? Like a deep cover agent, like a sleeper agent almost.
I don't know that he even knew. I mean, I suppose we could say his name because he was ultimately a mercenary too. Colonel Fritz Donner of the Black Warriors from, and I can never pronounce it, is it the Cyrenus Federation?
That sounds good.
yeah, close enough. But yeah, he was, he was brainwashed, and they evidently implanted explosive devices into his skeleton, and that's the Donner bombing of Ark Royal. It was horrible.
Crazy times there.
Yep. So a lot of good characters were called very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, they, you know, it's it was Raphael, by the way, his son.
Awesome.
But yeah, they got him out, and then we kind of don't really know any more about what they did during the Dark Age era. We don't really have a whole lot of information. We kind of pick back up with them in 3137. And in 3137, they were on the planet Promised Land and happened to be there. They were there at the behest of the Free Worlds League, but then had to defend against a Lyran Commonwealth invasion, and were essentially destroyed to the point of no longer being a mercenary unit by another mercenary unit known as Kirkpatrick's Invaders. I know, but hey, I guess if you start a mercenary unit, you want to name them after yourself. That's the way to do it. So essentially, that's the end of their known story at the moment. Who knows if they return, because they made it this far. I mean, there was a lot of other mercenary units that didn't even make it out of, past 3100 that are popping back up. So, there were some really cool elements about Avanti's Angels, part of which them just being a small unit, right? I love the, battalion and smaller sized units, company sized unit, company of mechs with some support, I think is awesome. I think that's right in the sweet spot. And they had, basically a company of mechs and a little bit of support vehicles. They had two Savannah Masters. I like how it was like listed. They had one and then they got a second one. But they had a good mix of mechs, most of which were upgraded, which was pretty cool. And there was some other things that was pretty interesting about them, some kind of fun facts. They would practice in with different mech formations. So the Lance was not their, while it's like the Interstellar standard, they would practice with everything from working as individual mechs to up to basically six mechs in a Lance, which is a Comstar or Word of Blake level one, right?
Demi company, yeah.
Yeah. So they would practice, and they were so good at it that they could switch in the middle of combat. They could change formations. They knew where to go, where to be. And so I love that from a small mercenary company standpoint, being able to react in that way. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean you're so well trained. You're operating independently. You can work as a team, but you can also operate independently to help, keep everything moving forward. And it is cool. And then, another thing that was big with the Angels was that they were not about defense. They
They
were
were
all about the
not.
offense.
Yeah,
The
because they
Blitzkrieg
learned with the
style.
clans, offense was the best defense.
There was nothing good about holding still or trying to defend something,
No.
when you could go on the attack. And that was, I mean, it works. It's with the especially with the clanners because you
Yeah.
stop them before they get to where you're going to be, and they can just have a turkey shoot. I mean, you go out and meet them in the field, that's where they're at.
Yeah, and the clans like that as opposed to a defensive fight anyway, so.
Exactly. Yeah, the clans never enjoyed defensive fights, so. Lots of
Yeah.
good tactics picked up along the way and independent thinking, it really it, for a small unit, it makes for an interesting unit because I mean, even in their contracts, they don't want to do defense.
I think they also one of the things they would do is not they would not let anyone else command them in their
Yes.
contracts.
They retain
I can't
battlefield
remember
command of
battle
themselves.
yeah battlefield command. I can't remember what the yeah what if that was the exact, but yeah, exactly. So but yeah, also too, Marx's his mech, which was the Caesar, that if you're watching the video is up on the screen there. That's the newest sculpt for the Caesar. It was awesome because it was not just like a white mech. Now, they did tend to paint their mechs white with It's funny, the description said white with silver trim, but everything shows him with white with gold trim. But his was not just white. It was mother of pearl.
Yes.
It was
it really stood
head
out.
to toe mother of pearl with flames coming up off the feet. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. That was Archangel. I mean, it was something. It was a unique machine, and it's so unique that it has its own lines on Sarna where you can find it.
Yeah.
It's got its own card and the master unit list. It's got its own sheet. I mean, it's a cool mech, and it's very well equipped from all the battlefield salvage that they managed to scrounge up along the way from running.
Yeah, it was
Which
primarily clan tech with just a couple of inner sphere lasers that were rear facing, right?
Yes. Yeah, they refitted it was basically a gutted shell when they got it. It didn't even have an engine, so they had to source an engine from the magistracy. So it had a clan tech PPC and a Gauss rifle with 2 tons of ammo, and then it had the Caesar's left arm had 2 medium pulse lasers. Well, they stripped out the inner sphere ones for clan tech. They took the extra
Nice.
weight they saved and slapped a clan tech medium pulse laser in the center torso. They retained the 2 rear-firing medium pulse lasers, so this thing was dangerous in every direction.
Yeah,
and
that's
then gave
awesome.
It an extra heat sink and an extra extra ton of armor. So I mean, it was made to fight.
Yeah, no, that's a awesome machine. Like, I love the weapons loadout. All of those weapons are weapons I appreciate, and it's energy efficient.
Yes.
I prefer energy weapons, for the most part. So, but yeah, no, that's awesome. One of the things too, so, you know, obviously they, as a unit, were destroyed in 3137, but, they made it through the Dark Ages, you know, up to that point. So, like I said, I would love to know what kind of happened with them during that time. But again, one of the cool things that they would often do is paint their mechs, you know, white with kind of gold silver trim. So I, you know, white's hard to paint, but I love it. It looks cool.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
But so this is the first unit that we're focusing on here on Mercenary Star Podcast that doesn't have a force pack. There's still a couple more out there. The next one's going to be Wolf Dragoons. We've got a force pack for them. And then eventually Snord's Irregulars. Well, we know there's a force pack for them. Way down the line, Somerset Strikers are going to have a force pack. So that's going to be awesome. but
a lot of excited people.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But since we don't have a force pack, what are the mechs that you think would be great in a force pack? Or maybe not even mechs, maybe, you know, what units?
Well, I think, I mean, if I had my wish list, because the Angels were kind of, you know, they were kind of a catch-all, you know, battlefield salvage and whatever that they could get. I think if I could get my pick, I'd have to go with like a jumping Valkyrie, because that
okay.
was one of their more well known pilots was a Valkyrie pilot.
Yep.
I originally thought
command?
Maybe. No, Charlene was the second in command, and she piloted a Phoenix Hawk. But I feel like there's more well known mercenary units that have Phoenix Hawks in higher ranking.
Yes.
Like one we were going to talk about later down the road, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Valkyrie was Paula. I can't think of her last name.
Oh,
but
Paula.
She was like
That's
their
right.
recon and fire support pilot.
Yes.
I would probably want Jace's Battlemaster, maybe reposed.
Mm-hmm.
The new variant, I would want Archangel of the Caesar.
Yeah,
because it would obviously have an additional weapon and maybe a little change to the how the weapons on the right side look because they're clan tech.
Yeah.
And then because they're the Angels and they're different, I would throw like a pair of Savannah Masters in the pack.
Why
So they
not,
don't,
right?
yeah, they or even maybe a Savannah Master and some infantry, because they don't really represent your normal or your typical battle ants.
They're
They
not.
kind of, yeah.
No, I
They.
like that idea. I also like the idea of having force packs down the line where we have a mix of mechs and vehicles. And two makes sense, because they typically have two in there for a mech. But yeah, I think, like you said, the variant of the Archangel would be awesome. Put it in the pose that we see, on the cover of Double Blind. And then, like you said, have the repose of the Battlemaster and then the jumping Valkyrie. I think it'd be awesome. You know what I did think about? There's several Valkyrie pilots out there. However, probably the other well-known one, or a better well-known Valkyrie pilot, was Justin Allard's brother for the Kellhounds. Until he got
Oh yeah,
the
you're right,
Wolfhound,
Dan Howard.
Dan Allard piloted a Valkyrie, and then it blew up. Spoiler.
Well, Justin Howard also piloted a
He
Valkyrie
did
too,
too, yes.
and he faced off against well, he had it until the Grey Knotton took care of it for him.
So, but that
Not a
wasn't, I mean, that
great
wasn't
fight.
his originally. He
No.
strong-armed his way into that one.
That's true. That's true.
So,
But he's the other Valkyrie pilot
oh
that
no, I
I
guess
can
he
think
didn't.
of that
What am
stands
I
out.
thinking? Yeah, he had. So yeah, actually, that's funny is that both Allard brothers had Valkyries. So yeah,
It's good, Mac.
that would be a great mech to have jumping though, I think. But yeah. But no, I love it. I think that would be a fantastic. Also, too, we don't have the Battlemaster in a whole lot, do we? Other than the game of armored combat?
That's why I picked it, because I mean, it's their assault mech, so but it's still capable of keeping the speed. And as far as I know, there's only one Battlemaster, so maybe a different pose for it would be pretty cool. Unless maybe they're considering
It might
like
have been in
Waco's
the
Rangers down the road.
Kickstarter. Yeah, exactly. It might have been in the Kickstarter as like one of the salvage boxes. But other than that,
Could be.
I don't know of any packs that have it, so
Don't know. I mean, the thing about the Angels with is super cool is when it comes to the end of, or once the Kickstarter comes out, there should be a miniature, a new CGL plastic miniature for every unit that they had throughout the Double Blind story. So, and I mean, none of them are, we
We've
got
already seen
archers.
all the artwork for it for him. So yeah, we should have it by then.
I mean, a
Absolutely.
good portion of them already exist, so you after the Kickstarter is over, once you receive your mercenary pack Caesar, you should have everything you need to build your very own Avani's
Yeah,
Angels.
you could have the whole unit. So that's awesome. But yeah, no, well that's fun. I like that. We're gonna have to do that with all the other mercenary units from now on. Like what four mechs or four vehicles or whatever. So yeah, that'll be fun. Well, the Angels didn't have a whole lot. Like I said, there was two pieces of fiction and but it wasn't, Double Blind, I feel like, is such an iconic book though, in the Legends books. So it's and if you picked up the recent Humble Bundle with like 60, the original, like the first 60 BattleTech novels that were produced, then you should have it as well. So but yeah, let's see. What anything else about the Angels that you can think of as something you want to chat about?
I mean, there. I really liked the book. You are right. It's one of the iconic ones from the beginning, because I think you get to explore some of the aspects of, them being a unit that's, I guess I'm stumbling over words. It is a unit that, pardon my language, is a bastard unit. It's put together from a lot of pieced together soldiers and people with, the walking wounded and survivors. So, I mean, in scenes in the book, there's a hodgepodge of dress uniforms and things like that. So there's a lot of different thoughts, and they managed to make it work. But you also get to kind of see the behind the scenes of, this is a hard luck case. We're running low. Our coffers are almost empty. We're trying to scrape together whatever we can to keep everybody outfitted. And, even Marcus himself is turning a wrench on his own mech, trying to get it up and running. And so, I mean, there's it's neat to have more depth to the story. There's the travel time and the downtime in between, and there's a lot of politics in the book too of what's, because you're coming to the end of the Civil War right before the Grand Blakus Crusade that really upends things, and there's a lot of pieces and parts moving in that story that if you don't know a whole lot about it, there's some big movements going on behind the
Yeah,
scenes.
definitely. Yeah, that the Civil War was such a big formative time for, especially for those of us who grew up playing before that with the clan invasion and everything. Even, whether it was the tabletop game or the video games, we were all definitely immersed in that era. And so then, that Civil War definitely, like I said, there was so much about it that was big, machinations of, leaders and nations and factions that were in the foreground and the background. So yeah. Well, awesome. Brute, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate you taking time to jump on and chat. We chatted beforehand a little bit about some of our other favorite units, which is fun. We'll have to revisit them at a later time.
Absolutely. There's some good ones out there. We might
There's
you
some great ones.
may have to make an episode of like all the small units. Two or
Yeah,
three smaller ones.
we may have to do we may have to combine some as we get to the smaller ones, but we'll see. I mean, if it comes down to it and it's like a maybe a 30-minute episode with 10 minutes each on a couple units. Yeah, absolutely. Or maybe we just start going shorter on some of them. We'll see. But yeah, thank you for joining us again. If you have not heard of it, make sure you check out Brute's podcast, Armor Up. It's great. You can search for it anywhere you find your podcasts, whatever platform you like to listen on. Brute, do you have any other shout outs or anything?
Just want to shout out Brent, Derek, and Chandler. Just to further refine, if you're looking for the Armor Up podcast, we are under the On the Origins podcast. That is our parent one. So
That's
if you look up
right.
the On the Origins of Battle Tech or Battle Mechs podcast, you can find us kind of in a subsection underneath it. And we're on all of your podcast platforms of choice. And I want to say thanks to you, Seth. I mean, you're doing a great job,
Yeah.
and I'm loving the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. Enjoy doing it. I love mercenaries. They're fantastic. So, but it's also because of the viewers, everyone's been so supportive and fantastic of it and encouraging, so that's also great. And speaking of support, check out our show sponsor, Fortress Miniatures and Games. If you're watching the VOD, the website is there on the screen, so definitely check it out. There's also a link in the show notes. They, you know, I definitely, if you have a local game shop, I encourage you to support local. But when you can't find something there, check out Fortress Miniatures and Games. They are a great store and they usually have a bunch of awesome resources and they get stuff out quickly as well. So appreciate them and their support. But yeah, Brute, again, thank you so much for being here. Hope that you have a fantastic rest of your day. And thank you all the listeners and viewers. Again, if you would, I would appreciate a like and subscribe on, YouTube, leave a review on whatever podcast platform. All the support is very much appreciated, and thank you very much for that. Brute, any last words?
Oh, just keep up the great work, man, and thank you to all the people that, take time to listen to us. We couldn't do this without you.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, thank you all again. Enjoy the show. Have a good Father's Day, which is coming up, and we will see you next time. God
Yep.
bless.